Kia ora, Kofo Smithahoe. Nō mai ki te whare, welcome to the house. If I say end-of-life choice bill, will I hear a collective groan from the country? Have you heard too much already? Well, sorry, but we'll try and make it a little bit different this time. A history of how we got to now over a surprisingly long time. At the House, we've been covering this bill since it was pulled out of the proverbial biscuit tin way back in July of 2017. More than 2 years ago, Bill English was still the Prime Minister. It was chosen at random to be debated by Parliament because it is a member's bill. And as we do with many new member's bills, the House had a chat with the MP proposing it. In this case, Daniela spoke with David Seymour, who at the time was part of the government.
This is something that, for three basic reasons, I think New Zealand needs to have. One is a democratic reason. 75% of New Zealanders have watched their loved ones die, often die badly, and they feel that actually they need more choice and more control. Secondly is a legal reason, is that in the Lucretia Seals case, the High Court judge said it would be trespassing on Parliament for me to allow euthanasia for Lucretia Seals. So in other words, he said, look, if it was up to me, I'd say yes, but I'm not allowed to. And so he said, Parliament must change this law if anybody is going to. But the third reason is by far the most important, and that's the moral reason, is that, you know, hopefully most of your listeners are going to live to 100 and die in their sleep of a heart attack, and everyone will show up to your funeral and say how wonderful you were. That's the way we all want to go. But some of us will get one of these conditions, a terminal condition like cancer or a degenerative condition like Huntington's or muscular dystrophy. And with a bit of luck, we'll actually find that palliative care is wonderful. And I want to really stress that, you know, this bill is not an opposition. It's not an alternative to the palliative care and the hospice movement who do wonderful things. You know, my mum died in a hospice. I have maximum respect for them. But they can't help everybody. And so you might be one of the people who has a condition, who can't be helped by palliative care, who is just suffering to the bitter end. And then your choices are basically amateur suicide, alone, without anyone nearby, because if they helped you, they'd be culpable under the law. You can refuse treatment, you can refuse food and water, you can starve yourself to death. Some people do that, and that's horrible. Or a nurse or a doctor gives you a little bit too much morphine and you slip away. And I just say, if we're prepared in 2017 to allow all of those options, why don't we allow the person concerned, with all the safeguards and restrictions in my bill, to make the choice for themselves? And so that's why I'm doing it. It's for democratic reasons. We should do what the people want. It's for legal reasons. The judges have been clear on this. But most importantly, it's for moral reasons that in 2017, in a humane society like New Zealand, we should actually allow people to have the choice so long as they are not harming others.
Daniela asked David Seymour what he thought his chances were.
It appears from what I've seen in sounding out my fellow MPs that we're likely to pass it. We've got about 42. There's about 27 opposed. You need 61 to win. That means there's 50 undecided, but we're well ahead at this point.
Remember that that was a different parliament, and more than a third of the 120 MPs have changed since then. 42 by a quick count.
And you mentioned that some people might oppose this based on their spirituality or their religious views. Are they the main challenges to getting this bill passed, or are there other things that might pose difficult to overcome?
Without a doubt, there are some people whose worldview and outlook is that the beginning and end of life is something for God to decide, and allowing people to make a personal decision is going to undermine their belief system. And what I say to those people is, we respect your views, we respect your religious freedom. All we'd like you to do is to respect our choice. I think there's also people, and probably a larger group, who have genuine anxieties about what an assisted dying bill would mean. They worry that it's open to abuse and coercion, that, you know, money-hungry kids will try and, you know, bump off mum to get the inheritance sooner. And look, to be honest, I was worried about those things when I first set down the journey of drafting and submitting this bill. What has changed my mind is looking at the evidence of what's actually happened overseas. So, for example, in Belgium and the Netherlands, it's estimated that the average person shortens their life by only 10 days. So that's not you know, knocking people off for egregious reasons. That is simply people avoiding the worst suffering at the very end of their life. So I think, you know, the challenge is to show people the evidence. Some people in that first category, they're not going to change their mind. But I think if we show people the evidence of what actually happens when assisted dying is legalised, then we can allay their quite legitimate fears and anxieties about the change.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Yeah, just that this is probably a more democratic process than anything else we do. With the party whip system, the parties make up their mind and the MPs vote more or less as they're required to by their party allegiance. On this, every single MP is there to represent not only their own conscience, but their people. You look at Ann Tolley. I admire Ann Tolley for a lot of reasons, actually, but in particular for the fact that she has decided to vote along the lines of the people of Gisborne that she represents. Now, I happen to know from having polled extensively that at least two-thirds, probably three-quarters of Gisbornites want this changed. So she should be coming back having listened to the people, supporting the bill. However, you know, there's lots of other opportunities. Go and see your MP. Ask them for an appointment. You know, they get paid $162,000 a year. Make them work for you. Tell them you'd like to discuss the bill and your views on it. And I think that if enough people get out and make their views heard, then we will see change. And I obviously opponents should do that too, but as they're outnumbered by 75 to 25, I expect that if MPs follow the will of the people, then we will get change. And so this is an opportunity where New Zealanders can have more direct influence on the lawmaking process than just about any other part of our democratic process.
As it turns out, opponents of the bill took his advice seriously and got well organised. But before the bill even got a first reading, this happened.
Unlock the door!
That sound from the opening of the 52nd Parliament after the 2017 election. Though the triumphant brass fanfare rather puts me in mind of a Monty Python movie. Eventually, 6 months after it was added to the order paper, the bill got a first reading.
It is wrong that in 2017, under the laws made by this House, we tolerate a status quo where people suffer needlessly.
My support for this end-of-life choice bill is based on the judgment by Justice Collins.
I've never heard or know of a Māori concept that validates assisting dying.
We're here talking about the state sanctioning killing of New Zealanders.
And I remember he would say to me, Trace, if I could push a button, I'd end it now.
If people do not yet experience the pain, they are also unable to enjoy what joy is.
One person's choice and autonomy will be another person's death sentence.
It recognises, sir, and affirms human agency and autonomy.
It passed that first reading 76 to 44. First reading votes are usually a little bit generous as MPs or parties give an idea the benefit of the doubt and wait to see how it develops. After that first debate, the House sent the bill to Select Committee with instructions for it to have a report completed and returned within 9 months. 4 to 6 months is the usual duration, so 9 months was generous. The committee actually took 16 months on what became a gargantuan task, hearing evidence from thousands of submitters. The Justice Committee had been listening to submissions for most of a year when I sat down with Chris Bishop from National and Ginny Anderson from Labour to see how it was going.
Yeah, so we've had 37,000 submissions and 3,500 submitters who want to speak to the committee, and we've heard from about 1,000 so far at 31 meetings.
To be honest, it's actually been a really, not inspiring is the wrong word, but it's been a really energising process because, you know, we've gone to all these towns around the country where select committees don't normally go, and we've turned up in Napier, Whanganui, Palmerston North, New Plymouth. That's where Ginny and I have been. And, you know, they just don't get select committees. And actually, probably the first thing most people said when we turned up there was, thank you so much for coming. And so we've sort of been taking Parliament, I suppose, to the regions, taking it to the province. Parliament to the provinces. There you go, bit of alliteration.
Tell me about some of the sorts of stories or submissions that you've heard thus far.
We've heard some really moving stories, often from people who have lost someone, a parent or even a child. They're probably the ones that have stuck with me the most, and from both sides of the argument of whether this option should be available or not. Really, it gave us a clearer understanding of the wide range of experiences people go through when losing a loved one and how to cope with that and to deal with that. So I think it's really important that people who are being listened to are treated with respect and dignity, and we've tried really hard to make sure that they feel they can tell their story and be respected, irrespective of what their faith or background or political views might be.
Yeah, I think Ginny's exactly right. There's been some harrowing stories. People who have lost family members or loved ones to some quite tough illnesses and quite tough deaths. And what's been quite interesting is the division amongst those people on the bill. Some people really support it very strongly. Some people still oppose it and strongly oppose it. So everyone's got their own different individual perspectives, and the job for us as a committee and a subcommittee, but then also a wider committee as well, and then I suppose the wider parliament when it gets reported back, is to navigate through all of those personal experiences and stories and try and make some recommendations about the bill. Tough job.
The House eventually got to a debate on the committee's report and recommendations, and the bill passed the second reading 70-50. Which brought it to the committee stage, which was another Herculean effort from MPs, taking up five whole debating days and often enduring well into the night, on one occasion until after 1 a.m. The votes held on the many dozens of amendments suggested across those 5 days was usually roughly 70-50, and only two of the amendments were accepted. One was an extensive rewrite of the whole bill by David Seymour, that, among other things, narrowed the eligibility of those who might want to die so that they now had to be terminally ill with less than 6 months to live. The second amendment added the requirement for a referendum, and that change was from New Zealand First, who would not support the bill without it. It passed with just two votes to spare, which was the closest the bill got to failing during its long journey. And that brought us to this last week, when it got a debate on a third and final reading.
The ayes are 69, the noes are 51, the ayes have it.
End of life choice bill, third reading.
Unlock the doors.
Unlock the doors.
MPs will now get to vote on the bill one last time, next year along with the rest of us, at the election. You've been listening to The House. E te whakarongo koe ki te whare. E hotake puake nā tētahi pūtia awhina. No mai, it te paramata. Ma te wā.